Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I'm bad.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me today. If you've been listening already, that means that you're a highly intelligent individual. And if you just tuned in, see what we're going to call you after you've been listening for a while? We're going to call you a really smart person. And obviously, you're also a highly discerning individual because you know that our guest this half hour, you're going to learn an awful lot from our guest this half hour, and that you will be amazed and excited to hear all the smart things that Peter Meyer is going to tell us. Ladies and gentlemen, you know all the times that you've heard me talk about your ability to dominate with your brands as a small business owner, and you hear me talking about comments from a book called Creating and Dominating New Markets by a guy named Peter Meyer. Remember me, all the times I say that, about two or three times a week? Well, Peter's here right now, as you know. Many of you have been listening to the show for a long time, know Peter very well. He's a regular guest on the show, and Peter Meyer, you don't have to be here for me to mention your name. I talk about you all the time. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and I prefer to be here when you talk about me, because that way I know what you're saying.
Well, it's always good stuff, because I do. I seriously, at least once a week, sometimes two or three times a week, the things that you talk about, how we can dominate, how we can actually have, and then even dominate with our brands, even small business brands, that comes up all the time, and it's amazing how that part of the marketplace is getting more airtime and more play, certainly on this show and maybe in other places as well. But small business owners really need to understand that, and I appreciate the fact that you not only talk about that all the time, but you actually wrote a book about it, and we thank you for that.
Truly my pleasure. I'm glad that I've got three people who read it now.
Somebody came up to me the other day and said, I bought your book. I said, oh, you're the one.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Today you want to talk about why customers don't buy.
Yes.
Now, that's an interesting take.
Well, if you think about it, how many things do you buy during the week, each of us buys during the week, and how many things don't we buy during the week?
Now, are you talking about that I don't buy it because I run out of time and I forget it, or I select it and then put it back and then sleep on it and then don't go back and get it the next day?
Well, it's really sort of the same overall issue, but my first assertion is that each of our customers doesn't buy a whole lot more than they do buy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We spend all of our day doing things, and we have opportunities to buy, and we pass, 10, 100 times more things by than we actually go out and procure. And so the question then is, why don't our customers single our one thing out to buy it of all the hundreds or maybe even thousands of things they could be buying this holiday season, next year, outside the holiday season? And I look at that perspective from the point of view of what is it that I would buy or not buy, and all of a sudden it becomes much more clear. I don't buy because it's the latest technology. I don't buy because it is something that the vendor thinks is appropriate. I buy because it's worth the investment of my time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You nail on the head. It's time, isn't it?
And my resources, obviously, my money.
Well, okay, and what are your resources? If you run a small business, I believe your resources are time, people, and money.
Right.
And they're critical in that order. And too many small businesses, I think I was talking to CFL Magazine about this last week, too many small businesses seem to think that money is the most important resource. But our customers don't treat it that way. Our customers take their time and invest it better and do better for doing that.
Well, you've heard me say this before probably, Peter, and I talk about this whenever I talk about it on the show, and every time I speak to an audience, I say this, and that is that more and more people are valuing their time more than their money, and it's true, isn't it?
It absolutely is true. It's an important way of looking at it.
And isn't that good news for small business?
It's good news for small business because we have the flexibility to adapt to the changing market. And we do that well. We do that very well.
Well, but the other reason why I think it's good for us is because when people are willing to pay for you to help them save them time, that's a premium purchase that we're better at selling premium things than big companies are, I think.
I agree with you.
And it's also where the margins are, isn't it?
Exactly right. Excellent point. That's where the margins are.
See, I've learned well from at your knee all these years, Peter.
Thank you. So the overall gist, I think, of why customers don't buy from us is because we don't make our offer attractive to what they need. I'll talk more about that break.
Yeah, Peter, now you know how to get us in and out of the breaks. I'm irrelevant now, folks. 2010. I'm Jim Hassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. We're going to talk some more with Peter Meyer about why your customers don't buy. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Peter Meyer is our guest. I'm glad he's here, too. He's the author of Warp Speed Growth and also the author of Creating and Dominating New Markets. And they're both outstanding books, folks. The second one is the one that you hear me mention all the time because it fits the things that I like to talk about, which is how small business owners can dominate with their brands, dominate their own markets. And I'm trying to get you out of your comfort zone and slap you around a little bit and get you to believe that just because you're a small business owner, to stop believing, I should say, that just because you're a small business owner that you can't be dominant, that you can't be dominant in your own market or whatever market you want to take on. And Peter helps us with that. He does it with the book I just mentioned, and also he does it when he joins us on the show. And Peter, we were talking about why our customers don't buy, and the fact that when customers look at making acquisitions, that they take a lot of different things into consideration, a lot of different resources, including their time, and that's where we were.
Yes, and I think it's important that we remember that we need to deserve their time, not based on what we think is appropriate, correct, and valuable, but what they think is appropriate, correct, and valuable. And all too often we spend our own resources building something that we hope will be attractive.
Mm-hmm. Would you mind if we use the word worthy? I like that word.
All right.
In other words, I think it puts a little more emphasis on us if we say we have to be worthy of their time. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
We have to earn the right.
Yeah, we have to be worthy of their time. I mean, I think if we say to our employees, you know, when a customer came in today and they gave us their time, were we worthy of that time? Did we deliver to make it worth their time? What do you think?
That's an excellent way of putting it. Thank you very much for that suggestion.
And that's what you meant, wasn't it?
Of course.
Yeah. So how do we make that happen?
I think the way to make it happen is instead of telling them what they want is to ask them what it is they do. Not what they want, because often what people want to buy next is not what they want to buy now. But what they want to do over a period of time is, in fact, something that doesn't change as fast. And if they have a function or an application or a task they repeat over and over again, then it becomes useful to know what that is. And then to be able to say, well, if you're going to do that again, wouldn't it be nice to be able to blank?
So you're saying if a man walks into my haberdashery and says, I need to buy a suit, we shouldn't say what color. We should say, how are you going to use this suit?
What do you want the suit to do for you? How do you want to impress this kind of person? Are you looking, you know, if I buy a suit, I used to buy suits. I would buy a suit because I want to impress a young lady who I've now gotten to marry, or I'd want to impress a client, or I'd want to. They'd be different purposes, wouldn't they? Impressing a woman and impressing a client are two different things, and therefore I'd want two different suits. So asking that is the right thing to do.
And that happens much too infrequently in the marketplace, doesn't it?
Well, I think when I walk into stores, what I usually get is, how can we give you something right away without worrying about what you're about or asking any questions? Mm-hmm. When I walk into a business situation, I often get the same thing. When people are trying to sell me things, it's often based on how quickly can I turn this transaction, as opposed to how quickly can I get to know you.
So you know, one of the things that's probably one of the most inane things that's said in the marketplace today is, can I help you? And
yes.
When people ask me that, I want to say, well, you know, I've got these character flaws. You could help me with those if you want to. You know, I wish I were taller. I wish I didn't have so much gray hair. Can you help me with that? It's really kind of a silly thing to say, isn't it?
And it's one of those things that just opens up a conversation. When people say, how are you, they often don't mean they want to really know the answer to the question.
They don't really want to know the answer. Yeah,
they want
but,
conversation.
But I guess what I'm getting at is, what if, can we come up with something, and I know this is a lot more elementary than maybe you wanted to get into with you, with the direction we're going in here, but couldn't we come up with a better way thing to say that would help you get to what you were saying a minute ago in terms of you know, how are you going to use this suit? If they come into a clothing store, obviously you got to assume they're looking for clothes.
You know,
can we come up with a better way of approaching these people?
It could be as simple as simply saying, how can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
In what way can I be of service? In what way can we make the best use of your time? That's the real question. And those questions don't get asked, I think, in a way that works best for our customers. I think you're right. Can I help you is a nice thing to say, but it's fairly meaningless along the lines of, how are you doing today? However, if you say, well, what way can I help you? How can I help you? Then you can still get the same answer, which is, leave me alone. I just want to browse. Or
I was, well, you know what I say when they ask me if they can help me? I say, no, thank you. I'm just shoplifting.
Yep.
That always gets their attention. But what if we said something like, well, sir, welcome to our shop. Obviously, we're a clothing store, so that means you must have clothing on your mind. Anything in particular that you're thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, get them into the conversation a little bit. I mean, they can't answer that question. They can't say no to that question. They can't use a non-directive answer to that question. I mean, directive answer to that question.
And the best part about that, from my point of view, is you're beginning to ask them questions to learn more about them and their needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what will make them change over time from a customer who doesn't want to buy from you to a customer who's willing to invest the time and then the money.
Do you think when customers walk in, they have a I probably won't buy from these people attitude, or not?
I look at what happens in stores and on business sale. I think that's true. They walk in thinking, I'm not here to buy.
And so when we come back, Peter's going to help us completely turn their attitude around when they walk through your door. You can do it. He'll help you. 10 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Peter Meyer is our guest. Warp Speed Growth is one of his books, and the other one is Creating and Dominating New Markets.
In a white room with black curtains, near the station.
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Peter Meyer. Peter, give us your website, please.
MYERGRP.com.
MEYERGRP. That's GRP for group, MEYER for Meyer,
mm-hmm.
Peter Meyer, and the book, website is MeyerGroupGRP.com, and they can find the books there too, can't they?
Of course they can. Be happy to help with that.
And lots of articles, lots and lots of articles, right?
Yes.
And I appreciate you making that available. And also, folks, Peter helps companies like yours to have the maximum opportunity to be successful and to apply some of the things that he and I talk about on the show, to apply them directly to your business without all the dancing around that he and I do to try to cover a lot of different industries. He can focus it right in on what you do, and I know he'll help you do that. And all they got to do is contact you from the website, right, Peter?
Be happy to chat with anybody. I love getting good questions, by the way.
I appreciate that. Okay, Peter, I'm going to give you the last segment all by yourself. Talk to us about how do we get customers to realize that they need to buy, not to not buy.
I think the way to do that is to treat them the same way we'd want to be treated ourselves, to say to them, what is it that interests you, to listen when they tell you, and what is it that you're doing, and to listen when they tell you that. And then after you've earned the right and you've made it worth their time to invest their time, to give them a suggestion about, you might try this, you might try that. I think it's really very simple. Customers don't buy from us because we don't treat them the way that we would want to be treated ourselves.
Do you, I don't know if you'd react the way I do to this, but one of the things that puts me off every time, and always has, as far back as I can remember, when somebody is waiting on me and they try to show me something that they say, either this is really popular this year, or so-and-so, meaning a group of people, they all have this, or, you know, that kind of thing, to try to get me to feel that if I'm going to be with it, I'm going to be in, if I'm going to be like these other people, I need to get this, or I need to have it for this year. And is it just me, because I don't care about things like that, or is that, does that hit other people like that? It's a very negative thing to say to me.
To say that you are part of a herd, that you need group reassurance, is not a very complimentary thing.
It isn't. It's insulting to me, and I hope salespeople listening will quit doing that. Because
yeah,
I mean, maybe it works for some people. Maybe I'm just such a contrarian, Peter, and I know you are, that maybe we're not typical of the average customer out there, but I think it's a bad strategy.
I tend to agree with you. I tend to think that it makes the most sense to simply say, what is it that you're going to do, as opposed to simply assume the lowest common denominator, which is that you're part of a herd.
Because the herds are going to the big boxes. They're going to Walmart. They're not coming to my little shop.
Well, nobody's average. Nobody here anywhere is average. We're all a little bit different from average, and we're all different enough that we should be treated as individual.
Mm-hmm.
And I always respect people who treat me as individual.
Even people who don't mind you saying what I just said, Peter, even people who don't get their righteous indignation up over something like that, even those people like it when you treat them like an individual, with a discerning individual, don't they?
Just like the people who are listening to us today are discerning individuals with great taste.
Highly intelligent, discerning,
highly intelligent.
Tasty, very taste, folks with a high degree of taste, absolutely. All right, Peter, what other things do we need to know about this?
I think it always comes down to the same thing. Earn the right, and intentionally work at earning the right to provide a service.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get it. Assume the right, and you get what you deserve.
What about, you know, one of the things that I write in a letter sometimes is that I hope that the time we spend on the phone was worthy of their time. I actually put that in letters sometimes.
Sure.
I wonder if, what would be wrong with saying, welcome to our shop, thank you for coming in, I hope we can help you with something that will benefit you, but most of all, we want to be worthy of your time. What would be wrong with saying something like that?
There's nothing wrong with saying it. I would want to always start these conversations with a focus on the guest in the shop, not on me. But once I've got the guests there and we're focused on them, then say that would be very appropriate.
That's going to take training, though, because everybody can't really just come out and do that. I mean, I think you're going to get some pushback from some of your folks on that. But think about that. The one thing that I've gotten the most out, that I think I'll take away from this the most, Peter, is your idea of being worthy of earning their time and being worthy of that. I think that's really important, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Meyer Group, GRP, MeyerGroup.com is Peter's website. The books are Creating and Dominating New Markets and Warp Speed Growth. Peter, thank you for being here very much.
Truly my pleasure. Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Peter Meyer, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I promise. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.